Awesome. Who's ready for the word? Cool. A few of us? Hopefully all of us. Hopefully you've missed us. Did you miss us?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're back now. And I was going to preach today. I was ready. But then, you know when your wife comes to you and says, oh, I've got this great word. And you don't say no, do you? Husbands know what I'm talking about. The neck that turns the head, all that sort of stuff. So anyway, we are very honored and privileged to have my wife preach today. Why don't we stand one more time? We're up and down in church, but it's good exercise. It gets the blood flowing. And why don't you give Anita a big welcome as she comes.
All right. Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege of being called children of God. Thank you for the work of salvation that you began by sending your Son and you continue in us day by day. Lord, thank you for the privilege of entering into fellowship with you and one another. Lord, I pray today that you would take my mouth and that your words would flow, that you would anoint ears to hear and hearts to receive. And Father, that we would have an encounter with the living Jesus today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And the saints said, amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Very good. All right. Who brought their Bibles with them? Does anyone bring a Bible to church? That's a good thing to do. How many read your Bibles? That's a good thing to do too, you know. All right. I'll just have a bit of fun. Okay. I want to talk today, and it's not even the message that I said to Jeremy I really wanted to share with you, because yesterday, early evening, the Lord really encountered me, and he showed me what he wanted me to share with you today, and it was completely different to what I was originally going to share. So this is literally hot off the press, but it is for you and me, and I believe it's a word in season. So can you open your Bibles to Genesis 26 for me, please? Genesis 26. The Bible tells us a lot about Abraham. There's a lot of stuff about Jacob. But Isaac doesn't really, you know, his life is covered in just a few chapters. But there's something really profound about Isaac's, one of the things that God led him into, that I want to dig into with you today. So Genesis 26, we're going to start in verse 15. And if you're there, say, I'm there. Yeah. Right? All right. Now it says the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. I'm in verse 17. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Geor. I actually looked up how to say that in Hebrew because I didn't know how to say it in English. And dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there, or the King James says springing water. I'm going to pause reading. We're going to come back to this. But I want to say, today the Lord spoke to me and said, talk to my people to unstop the wells. Unstop the wells. And I want us to start to just contemplate times of our life when maybe we had more enthusiasm, more energy, more anticipation, maybe even more faith than we feel like we have at the moment. There are things that happen, and as Christy said earlier, that 2024, there's so much stuff going on. And that's just if you look at the news, let alone our individual lives, we have so much going on. And there's things that try and stop up our wells that God has put within us. So today we're going to see wells unstopped. And I'm going to say that in faith in Jesus' name, because I really believe there is going to be a release in this room today. Okay, I want to keep reading and then we're going to go back over certain points. So back in verse 19, also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of springing water there. But the herdsmen of Gaor quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is this word stopped. So in verse 15, it says the Philistines had stopped up all the wells. When I looked up that word stopped up, it means to stop up, shut up, keep close, and secret. So the Philistines had essentially shut up the people of God. They had shut up, stopped up the wells. And I just want to suggest today that many of us have had things coming at us to stop us from doing the things that we have in our hearts to do. There's also such an attack at the moment to shut up the church. And that is around the world, not just here. But there is a push to see the body of Christ silenced. And I don't know if you have personally felt silenced, but I'm here to tell you today that the Lord wants to give you back your voice. He wants to give you the authority and the voice that you have from Him, because you have a message for this generation that you need to bring forth. Just like a well brings forth the water, you were designed to bring forth living water for the generation that we live in. The Philistines, the enemies of Isaac, had stopped up the wells. Notice they were Abraham's wells. They were his father's wells. There's things that have been deposited into our life that are generational. And there's things that God has been building in our generations. And Satan wants to come and literally stop the wells and say, shut them up, shut them down, stop them, suppress them, hold them back. I don't want them being who they are, because if they were to remember who they are, hell would shudder in fear. And so the Philistines, the enemies, had stopped up the wells. But I want you to notice what they stopped them up with. They did not stop the wells by building something over the top. It says in verse 15 that they filled them with earth. And that might sound like, okay, yep, they just put a heap of dirt in. But interestingly, when I looked up in the Hebrew what that word earth means, it means dry earth, dust, powder, ashes, rubbish, and debris. So what they had used to try and shut down, shut up, and stop Isaac's family from being able to have water for their herds, what they used to restrict and stop was actually things like ashes and rubbish and debris. I'm reminded how Jesus said, and when he was quoting from Isaiah 61, actually he didn't get to this part, but Isaiah 61, it talks about the calling that would be on Messiah. And one of the things he said, I'm anointed to do, is to bring beauty for ashes. Ashes represent something that once was and now has been burned out. And there's nothing apparently left but ash. Ash is representing stuff that has been through the fire. And often ashes in our life are sorrows and griefs, regrets, shame, things that have left us feeling helpless, hopeless, and empty. And this was what was being used to shut up the wells, to stop them, was that these things, these ashes, and it's the same today, the enemy wants to take the ashes from our life, those fiery times we've been through where we feel like everything that was precious got turned into ashes and it became like dust. And those dreams that we had, those things that we were believing for, feel like there's nothing left of substance. And all that's filled our life is ashes. But the amazing promise of God is that he would give beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning. The other word, rubbish. Now, I reckon that if we were to create a synonym for television, we should use the word rubbish. What do you reckon? Because there is so much garbage out there now, isn't there, that wants to just fill our lives. And it's not just, you may have noticed this too, it's not just the social media, TV, you know, advertising, the constant barrage of information that can have so much rubbish, but people like to dump their rubbish on other people. You can have a conversation and walk away feeling like you've just been dumped on. Has anyone ever had that feeling? It's not great. You feel heavy. Sometimes you just feel, ugh, gross. This is rubbish. And the devil wants to bring a heap of rubbish into your life and fill up what is supposed to be an overflowing well. He wants to fill it up with rubbish. And rubbish can consist of lies. It can consist of the things that we engage in that are not healthy, are not like what Christy said that first. If it's true, and if it's praiseworthy, and if it's just, and if it's pure, think and meditate on these things. That's going to keep your well clear and clean. But the more you engage in and meditate on the negativity, and this person said that, and that person did this, and they didn't do that, and I was let down here, and all of that rubbish, the more we meditate on it, the more it fills and stops our wells. So we have to deal with the rubbish today. And then they filled it with debris. Debris, we know, is like rubble of something that once was. And I really feel like God is saying he wants to deal with the debris in our life. Some of you have been through major wreckages, and I'm not talking about car accidents. I mean, personally, you feel like your life has been a wreck. And God is saying, today, it's time to get rid of the debris. Let it go. Let it go. That's not who you are anymore. You're not a wreck. You're a child of God. You're beloved. He loves you. He has a purpose and a plan that he's woven you into in his kingdom. And he's saying, let go of the rubbish, the debris, the baggage, all of those things. You know, if you come to a well and you see a heap of old chip packets and cigarette butts and stuff floating in the water, would you want to drink that? Of course not. You'd be like, it's contaminated. Well, that is the plan of the enemy. He wants to contaminate and stop our wells. with rubbish, with debris. Debris also is like when you have disappointments. Disappointment is a huge amount of debris that likes to sit and settle in our lives. Debris of what could have been, the past, the what ifs, the if onlys. It all sits there and it stops the flow out of our lives of what God wants to do. The debris holds us back. It's a stoppage in our life. We need to let go of the disappointments and believe again in the goodness of God. You know, every Sunday almost, someone will say, God is good. And what do you guys usually say? Do we believe it? Can I tell you one of the main things of the enemy is to tell you that God is not good. If God was good, why did he let this happen? If God is good, why did that happen? If God is good, how come he hasn't provided this for you? The focus of the enemy is to attack the character of God and for us to believe him that he's not good. David put it like this, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I believe today God wants to revive our faith in his goodness, that he is good all the time. We can say he's good all the time because the Bible tells us that with God there is no variation or shadow of turning and no change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that the goodness of God that existed yesterday is exactly the same as the goodness of God that exists today and exactly the same as the goodness of God that's going to exist tomorrow. His goodness is reliable, it's unchanging, it's faithful. He is a good, good Father. And when we begin to allow his goodness in our life again, we begin to be able to believe again. And when we can believe again, the Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Finding faith again in the goodness of God. David, I would have lost heart, except I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I want you to put that inside of you and let that grow into something amazing. Put that word inside of you and you say, I believe today I'm going to see the goodness of God. I believe today I'm going to see an abundance of the goodness of God. And I believe that I'm going to see so much of the goodness of God that people are going to start to question, how do you always get good things happening to you? Well, even if it doesn't look good at the time, how many know God is the master chess player? And this move and that move and that move doesn't look good until that move comes in. Checkmate. We can believe in the goodness of God. Yes, we can. We need to unstop the wells. Ooh, that was just verse 15. I'm just getting started. Okay. So they'd filled the wells with earth, debris, rubbish, all that stuff. What is Isaac's response when he comes and he finds the wells that his father had dug that once flowed with living water, and he finds them all stopped up? Does he just say, why do bad things happen to my family? No, he just starts digging. They start digging. Hey, I know there's a well here, and I know the water is good, and I know that once it satisfied my family, and I'm going to go back to that place where I know God met me, and I'm going to begin to dig again the wells, and I'm going to say, I don't see it right now, but I'm going to remember that my God is good, and I'm going to just keep digging this well because I know that deep down in my spirit, man, I still believe. I am going to keep digging until I get rid of the rubbish and the debris and the ashes and the dry dirt, and I'm going to let God begin to water my parched soul again, and I'm going to keep digging until I find that water again. And that's exactly what he did. Let's have a look at verse 17. If I can find it, where we are, 12, 17. Then Isaac, verse 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Oh, did you notice the timing when the wells were stopped? There was a death in the family. Sometimes, death of a family member, a close friend, death of something that we once held dear, death of a friendship, death of something that, you know, we had worked so hard for and it feels like it's all just for nothing, it can stop up our well. But God is saying, you gotta dig it again. Abraham was still dead, but it didn't stop Isaac from redigging the well. And he called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of springing, running water there. Woo! Okay, this one's awesome. Springing, as it says in the King James Version, springing water. What does that make you think of, by the way? Are you a visual person? What do you picture when someone says springing water? Do you picture just like a little trickle coming out of the earth or bubbles? Kind of, it's enough to see it, right? Do you know Jesus said, if you drink the water I give you, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. When I first came to Stanthorpe, I'm going to embarrass myself. I said, oh, it's so beautiful. The church is built right on the river. And then they said, that's a creek. Anyway. But even a creek is big enough that you can't miss it. You can see it. But if out of us flow rivers, apparently they're bigger than creeks. Much bigger. And rivers of living water. What God is depositing in us is so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger, we can't contain it if we would just let it be unstopped. Whoa. So this springing water, it means living, alive, reviving, revival, renewal, community. Can I say, I want to start with the last one and work my way back through a few. Community. The word springing actually can mean community. How? How is there a connection? Because what happens if water goes off into a little area by itself, into a shallow area? It gets evaporated quicker and it dries out. But when it's connected to the river, it flows, it has momentum. What the devil's strategy is to isolate people. In fact, God knew that this would be one of the major challenges of the church in the last days. And so he said, when you see the day approaching, make sure you do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because when you go into isolation and you get out of community, a lot of stuff begins to happen. You can be alone with your own thoughts so much that Satan joins the party and deception comes in. You begin to think differently because life becomes more insular and about you. When you're in community, your life is opened up to the needs of the people around you rather than just your own needs. You begin to have an understanding that I am part of a much bigger picture. And if we want these living, springing waters to come out of our life, we have to enter into community. We have to realize that what I have been given is not just for me, it's for you. Community is so important. It actually makes that water flow out of our life. Then we have the word renewal and revival. Since I was a small child and I heard about the wondrous things of God. Yeah, I'm going to show my age now. I'm only 44, but I feel like when I say this, I'm going to sound old. But you know those old records that were about this big, that were black? We had one of those record players at home, and my mum would put it on, and there was a dramatized story that would come on of David and Goliath. And I remember being just a wee little girl, and I'm sitting in the room, and I'm listening, and the music and everything, and the giant came out. Oh, and they had these big, echoey sounding footprints, and my heart would beat that fast. I was terrified. I'm thinking of this giant, and he bellows out, "Who will fight me?" And I'm about to wet myself on the floor. I'm so scared. And then I hear this boy's voice, and he says, "I will feed you to the birds of the air today." I'm like, how does anyone ever have that much courage? But something was ignited in me from listening to this story and hearing this boy with great boldness run at his giant and take him down, and then the crash of Goliath and the echo of him falling. Oh, it was awesome. We need to relive this. Who's good with media? Come on, we've got to do this. But it was amazing. And, you know, it impacted me so much that I'm like, my God does miracles. And then I would go to Sunday school and they would tell me how he could feed over 5,000 people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. And this is the kind of God that I grew up learning about. And then I began to hear about generals of the faith and revivals that would come, and of some of the men of old who were so full of this living water that God flowed out of them so powerfully. They were having a meeting, let's say here, and as people drove past Macca's into town, they would have to pull over in their chariots and horses and not chariots, what do you call them? Wagons, carts, yes. They would pull over and literally be laid out on the ground on the side of the road because the presence and the power of God was so strong from what was happening miles away that they couldn't even stand coming into the vicinity of the town. And I began to think, I want to see this thing called revival. Has anybody else got a hunger inside of them for revival? Yes? We know there's more. It's our theme for this year, even more and greater. And God keeps saying, I'm setting before you an open door in 2024. There's so much more that he wants to have flowing out of our lives. But today he's giving us a challenge. Will you unstop your wells? Will you let go of the debris? Some of the debris can also be bitterness, but we're going to touch on that in just a minute. Revival is one of the meanings of the word springing alive. So, if I was to go God shopping and I was strolling past the displays for Buddha, he's a bit hard to miss, besides. All the different ones, what would attract me to a God, to want to give my life in service to him? If I look at all the statues and then I come to one at the end that has a presence, I can't really see him or define him, but there's this radiance. Ends. Looks like a being is inside of all that light, and pulsating out of that light is a love that makes me feel undone because I've never experienced anything like it. And not just that, but life, pure life is radiating out of this light, and I know that I have met God. I know which one I'm going to choose. Sometimes I think we're trying to tell the world about our God, but we're not showing them that He is alive. We don't have a God who is a concept. We have a God who is reality. He is alive. And that word springing means alive. And out of our bellies should come rivers of living water. Wow. So I'm in verse 19, I'm doing well. Okay, so they found this well of springing water. But the herdsmen of Goa quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Isdek. Do you know what it means? Contention. He named that well of springing water contention. What is Satan's weapon against our living water? Strife and contention, quarreling, arguing, fighting. Oh. I don't believe there's anyone in this room who enjoys people fighting with them, with their words. It's awful. When someone says nasty things to you, it leaves you feeling awful, doesn't it? Do you know what else it does? It's a huge distraction. If someone has said something unkind about you that's not true, what do? I don't know if you're like me, but I start thinking of what I could say to give a rebuttal. That's not true. Why would they say that about me? And you obsess, think. And what does it do? It becomes a stoppage. The enemy took over the well, and their weapon was contention. We're going to learn how to deal with this stuff, because the enemy hasn't changed. He still has the same tactics that he uses on us today. Where in your life can you see contention? Because it's going to stop your access to the living water. We've got to let it go. And that's exactly what Isaac did. He went and dug another well. Verse 21, then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name, Sipnoch, which means strife. First contention, then strife. And he moved from there and dug another well. If people are saying stuff about us, we've got to learn how to just let it go. You know what? My job is not to stand here and argue over who is right or who is wrong. My job is to provide living water. So I'm just going to let it go so I can let it flow. Ooh, I just did a run. I'm going to let it go so I can let it flow. Because otherwise, I'm obsessed here and I forget the whole purpose of what I'm meant to be doing, where I'm meant to be. You can't let it go. So I just want to do a tiny detour here and tell you something powerful that I told the kids on Friday afternoon at Kids Club. We were looking at seeds and planting seeds, and Timmy had picked a cucumber from our garden, and we brought it and broke it open, and we were eating it and we were looking at the seeds. And I asked them, if I plant this cucumber seed, will I be able to pick tomatoes from it when it's ready? That's what they did to me, Jacqueline. They laughed at me. And then I was like, but why can't I pick tomatoes from a cucumber bush? Vine. Sorry. A late night. Because cucumber vines don't produce tomatoes. They produce after their kind. So I said to them, so you mean if I plant a cucumber seed, I'm going to get a cucumber? They said, yes. So I said, well, if I plant love, what will I grow? Love. If I plant hate, what will I grow? Hate. You know, when Jesus said, I tell you, if someone slaps you on the left cheek, turn to him the right also. Oh, this is powerful. It actually revolutionized my thoughts. And if someone, he says, do good to them that hate you. Why can't you hate the ones that hate you? Well, you could, but what are you going to reap? What you don't want, right? You don't want hate. It felt awful. So he says to you, that's the seed they're sowing, but you don't want that. So instead, if they sow in hate, then don't worry about that. But you keep sowing love because you want a perpetual harvest of love in your life. And don't worry about the strife. If they're going to slap you, don't sow what you don't want to get back. So that's why we turn the other cheek, because I'm going to sow something different. I'm going to sow patience, because I want to reap a harvest of patience. Whatever you sow, the Bible says, is what you reap. So if you want to sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. But if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. That's not a harvest you want to be a part of. So we, in situations of contention and strife, we don't want to sow more contention and strife because we already don't like it. So why would I want a bigger crop of that? Do any of you ever plant something, look at all the weeds growing up around it, and pick all the seeds off the weeds and put more of them in your garden? If you do, I need to talk to you afterwards. Have any of you planted weeds before? No. Usually that's someone else's job, right? You come out and you're, how come the weeds grow faster than the plants? But you know what? We don't go and plant weeds. And that's why he's saying, when there's contention and strife, don't plant more of it by entering into it and engaging into it. You don't want that stuff as it is, so come over here and dig another well. And plant the seeds that you want to grow. If they're not being good to you, come over here and plant goodness in other people's lives so you can have a harvest that you want to receive. Dig another well. And Isaac dug another well. And the third one, they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name. Now, let me see the pronunciation, because it's got the, I'm going to spit, Rehoboth, or Rehoboth. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Do you know what? No, I can't do it, I don't have enough moisture. Rehoboth means? It means wide places or streets. No more constriction. Rivers. The next thing he does, it says he went up from there to Bathsheba. And guess what? He dug another well. But before that, it says in verse 24, the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Guess what Bathsheba means? Well of the sevenfold oath. Isaac, in doing this digging, getting into the living water, he enters a place where he encounters God. It said, and God appeared to him that same night. God didn't appear to him in the contention. But when he left it all and he dug another well, that same night he had an encounter with God. Do you know one encounter with God can change your life forever? And out of this encounter, he has the purpose and the promise and the positioning of God into his life. And he becomes fruitful in the land. And he names this well, Well of the Sevenfold Oath. Now he did make an oath of peace with some of the surrounding residents. But when I saw that, something went off in my spirit. And I've got to share this with you because it's very exciting. When you keep digging those wells, when you keep getting rid of the debris, you let go of bitterness and unforgiveness and offense, and you start clearing out that well, and you begin to enter in and partake of the living water yourself, and you begin to flow and expound out to others that living water, guess what is available to you? Let's go there together and have a look at it. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, and we're going to read verses 30 to 31. Page. Proverbs 6, 30 to 31 says this, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet, when he, the thief, is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. When you get to the well of Bathsheba, everything the enemy, the thief, stole from you has to be returned to you sevenfold. And it just may cost him everything in his house. How many want to plunder hell? I know I do. I want to populate heaven. And so it's in this place of encounter with God, of digging those wells, of making sure I'm doing everything I can to walk in the character and the likeness of God. It's in this place that all those things that you just walked away from, God's saying, now you're ready. Your character's ready for me to restore to you sevenfold what the enemy took from you. Wow. It's time for you to take the ground instead of the enemy taking ground in your life. Let's just finish with one more passage of scripture in Psalm, because then I want to do something. I want to unstop some wells. Who's ready to unstop some wells this morning? Amen. Okay, Psalm 31. And I want to read 19 and 20. So, no, that's 33. 31. Okay. 19 says, oh, how great is your... Who's there? What's the word? Goodness. We've been looking at the goodness of God. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man, and you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Do you know that word strife there is the same root word as the word strife that was in our story? When it said the herdsmen had contention and strife with Isaac's herdsmen, and they tried to take over that well and say it's ours. It's the same word, same root word. And it says here that God wants to hide us in the secret place of his presence from the plots of men and keep us secretly in his pavilion from the strife of tongues. What do we do when there is backlash, when there is drama, when there's talking, when there's accusations, when there's fighting? We go into the secret place and we're protected. Even though they're saying all that stuff, it's just water off a duck's back, because he's protecting us from the strife of tongues. And in that secret place, do you know what we're thinking about? Not what our enemies are saying about us. We're going, wow, how great is your goodness. And there's so much of it here.